This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
The droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fume. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
Outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi.
On today's episode, we're chatting with Jonah Marie all about the Clone Wars content out of Celebration. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show like we've done for the last few episodes. Nancy, explain what's going on here.
We are rounding up all the news from Celebration Anaheim. We've had episodes about the teaser, about Rebels, about publishing news, about Rogue One. Now we're chatting about the Clone Wars, various Clone Wars content that was at Celebration. And we asked Jonah from the Wookiee Gunner to come because she was the biggest Clone Wars fan we could think of. So we decided that she would be the best person to come and talk to us all about the Clone Wars. So thanks so much, Jonah, for coming and joining us.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We're really glad to have you on the show. And before we start off, we're just wondering if you could tell everyone a little bit about yourselves and where they can find you on the internet.
Sure thing. So I'm a librarian and a crazy fangirl. my little corner of the interwebs is the WookieeGunner.com. It's my baby. I also write for MakingStarWars.net, StarWarsReport.com, and FangirlNextDoor.com. You can also find me as at BlueJayGuys on Twitter. Other random facts. My favorite color is mustard yellow. My favorite ice cream is pralines and cream because I've been craving it lately.
Ooh, good choice.
And I know, right? And And if I could have dinner with anyone in the world, it'd be Dee Bradley Baker so that he can talk to me as the Rex.
Well, if you had dinner with Dee Bradley Baker, you could have dinner with lots of different people.
Yeah,
you could have
exactly.
Dinner with a whole Bye. Platoon of clones, basically.
It'd be awesome.
We're really glad to have you on and have a good discussion about Clone Wars tonight.
And with that, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And if you haven't yet, go check out their new Marvel attire from Hot Topic. It's very cool. I might be purchasing some items eventually.
So which one of those items caught your attention?
I don't know. All of them?
I can't get over how cool that Stark Industries bomber jacket is.
That jacket is really cool.
Those look awesome.
Have you bought anything from them yet?
No, I have not. No, I'm just waiting for my paycheck next
week. Yeah, that's always the problem. And next week, there's a Star Wars weekend start, so I'll be
Oh, look at that.
I know, I'll be purchasing the rest of the stuff that I didn't get at Celebration.
And there's that awesome Sabine costume tunic that's
I
also
know.
Coming to adults.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So before we kick off our Clone Wars discussion, we thought we would ask you an easy question to start off with, which would be, who's your favorite Clone Wars character?
Well, then, my love for Rex is known far and wide. I mean, I love that man and everything he stands for. He is the ideal Republic soldier, but he's not like some droid who'll take orders and run with it. He's smart. He's strategic. So he'll make decisions with the best interests. And throughout the series, you'll see bits of his personality here and there, especially in the Umbara arc, which makes me cry till this day. Yeah. And you know, there you'll see him struggle with Krell and, you know, and protecting his men. And the clones could have easily been written as plain background characters with no say here and there. But I really love that the writers, what they did in terms of expounding upon their personalities and giving them a life of their own. So in my world, the clones get the gene therapy from Republic Commando, from the Republic Commando series, and they live happily ever after on my planet with Rex ruling by my side.
Oh, I like that headcanon. And so we'll ask a harder question this time, which is, what's your favorite episode or arc?
That's cruel.
I know.
Yeah, there's so many great episodes and arcs. Oh man, I have so many favorites. I mean, so many just about Ahsoka. But I have to go with, because it's Rex, I have to go with the deserter in season two. I mean, shocker, right? Yeah, you know, it's a Captain Rex episode. And I remember when I first watched it, I screamed because that's when he got shot in the chest. And I thought, oh, my God, this is the end. This is what this feels like.
Yeah.
So it was a very traumatic moment for me. But he was OK. And we got to meet Cutler Quain. He is an interesting character. And, you know, he was someone who deserted the Grand Army, which we hadn't seen before. And I like that they went there with the story and that they focused on a clone who made different goals for himself. And I like that Rex got to experience that, because that's obviously what he did later on. He left the army. So I'm excited.
Yeah. So the first thing we wanted to talk about was the Untold Clone Wars panel. And that was with Dave Filoni and Pablo Hidalgo. And they basically discussed arcs that were never produced, or they were in some stage of production, and discussed, you know, the different stories and where they came from. So Brian and I weren't able to go to any of the Clone Wars panels because, as you know, there's a ton of different things happening at Celebration all at one time. You have to make terrible decisions. So we're just hoping you could go down and go over that panel and tell us some of the different arcs. We've heard some of them. Like, I know I've heard about the idea to have the Vong in there and some other topics.
Some cool things. Yeah. One of the first ones that came up was the Boba Fett Cad Bane Bounty Hunters arc, which I think they recorded a lot of voices for, but they never really, you know, like the Bad Batch arc and the Utapar arc, they never really got to finish them. So they touched on that and how this story was supposed to take place on Tatooine, and Boba Fett, they were planning to have Boba Fett get kidnapped by Tusken Raiders because they were planning to rescue a child. They didn't really go into details. We don't know who this child is. So I wish they could have delved deeper into it, but they showed a clip and it basically was Cad Bane and Boba Fett fighting off these Tusken Raiders. And I think Filoni had mentioned at one point that Cad Bane had a history with Jango Fett. And it was always a, you know, who's better sort of a relationship. And because Jango Fett's no longer around, there's Boba Fett, and Boba Fett's a clone. So Cad Bane still has that, I wonder who's better sort of mentality. Cool. And I wish they could have shown a bit more, but it's Dave. He never really touches me.
Yeah.
Only if you send children into the audience to ask questions, yes! Will Dave say anything?
Yeah, I wish there was a little kid to ask more about that.
That's cool, because, and you know, Cad Bane's one of those characters that was really popular, who, that, you know, his whole destiny is, you know, we don't know what happened to him. Like most of the other characters on the show, we kind of have an idea, but he's one of the ones that no clue. So
Yeah. He ended up on Sabine's wall.
Yeah, that is true.
And the other arc they touched on was the Kashyyyk arc with the Wookiees. And it was basically how the Wookiees were struggling to come to terms with the fact that a war was taking place on their planet. They needed to ask the tree spirits permission for, you know, because they're, I think at one point the separatists were going to burn a large part of the forest, and they had to make a decision about, you know, whether they should go in and intervene. And it was a lot of spiritual decisions that they were making, and we were going to get a lot more in terms of their culture and what the Wookiees were planning how they were going to go against the separatists and whatnot. And the Bad Batch were actually going to be in this arc.
Oh, cool.
It was pretty cool. It's the arc that's supposed to follow the Bad Batch arc that we saw at Celebration. So the four guys, Wrecker, Crosshairs, and I can't remember the other guys, Hunter and Tech, they were sent there to assist with the situation. And yeah, that was the Kashyyyk arc. And I wish there was a bit more about it, but that was all that they got to touch on while we were there.
That would have been interesting because, you know, we have in Revenge of the Sith that Yoda apparently has good relations with the Wookiees. So it would have been neat to see some of that backstory.
Yeah, Yoda was definitely present in one of the concept arts that were shown. There was a clone trooper standing behind him, and the clone trooper had Yoda's face drawn on his helmet. So that was pretty cool that they would take up the their general's visage, I guess, and apply it to their face, to their helmets.
Cool. And I know one of the things they talked about was the arc that would have been what became Dark Disciple. Did they show stuff from that or art or touch on, you know, what we might get to expect in the book going forward?
Yeah, they definitely touched on a few pieces of concept art. It was mainly Asajj wearing her ball gown because she was going to go undercover during this arc. And
that amuses me greatly.
That's a fun mental image right there.
And it's such an awesome, because we've seen it before. I think it's some of the art is available on the website. And it's such a cool dress, and it's a killer dress, and that's who she is. And you can see it, and I want someone to cosplay as that one day.
That would be awesome cosplay. I want like a whole group of Ventress, like all in different costumes. That would be awesome.
That'd be cool. Yeah, like a progression.
Yeah.
They also showed a clip of Quinlan Vos and Ventress basically going after the same guy. It was like a bounty or something that they were chasing after. And they're going at it. They're chasing after this one individual until I think Vos catches him first, and he's trying to basically apprehend him. And Ventress is not understanding what's happening. This was her guy. This was her target.
Yeah.
And Vos says, "Oh, you know, I've got it. I've got it, honey." And hearing that,
oh dear,
it just. You know, she just punched him in the face and knocked him out.
That's an appropriate reaction, awesome. I think.
Yep, perfect reaction. The whole crowd started, you know, applauding and cheering.
That kind of gives me hope that if there is a relationship between them and Dark Disciple, that it's done well and not, you know, that it's based out of mutual respect and not, you know, her fawning over him or something completely out of character.
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of worried about how they're going to present those two characters and whatever relationship they may develop. I'm worried about whether it'll be out of character for her or him. I mean, they mentioned that he was going to go more into his darker, more of a darker approach, like how we had seen him in the comics.
Yeah.
So they were going to touch on that, and that's obviously where they're going to go with the book. And I'm also worried about losing her, potentially losing her. I don't want to.
You no, and me both.
I need Ventress to be a just a lone bounty hunter in Rebels. Yeah. I need her to not be dead for that.
No.
Yes, not be dead would be a great status for her.
Not dead.
Not dead.
Yeah, I will have lots of thoughts if that happens, but hopefully I'm going to believe it won't happen because she's too awesome to
She is really too awesome.
So yeah, what else did they show during the panel? The Vong thing was kind of
out of left field.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of it was kind of hard to interpret what Dave was saying, but I think he was just sketching and playing around. It wasn't something that they were going to fully commit to. Like, they never got around to discussing the potential, you know, potentially going into this topic. But he definitely sketched, you know, this character with heavy armor, and there was the ship, the scout ship, that was massive in comparison to a Jedi starfighter. And you know, that alone brought the audience to, you know, they were just what?
Yeah, I saw some people tweeting that and was like, okay, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, there were a lot of mixed. When I got into Star Wars, it was mainly Star Wars The Clone Wars that brought me really into the whole fan community. So I was never really exposed to the expanded universe, and I was slowly but surely getting through it. And there's a lot more that I haven't been able to cover, particularly the Yuuzhan Vong aspect of it. So I wasn't really sure whether to be happy about it, to be not happy about it, because I kept getting mixed feelings about it. Some people were super excited. Others were like, that wasn't really the best aspect of the expanded universe.
Yeah.
So what are your guys' take on it? Because I personally don't know.
I'm okay. They didn't get
there. I mean, I think it would have been really cool as an idea. Like, I think the idea is cool. I would just worry about the execution of it. Yeah, because I feel like
I don't know how you could use them any more than just cool looking alien. If you tried to bring in that story into it,
it would have to be really
carefully.
Like, it would have to be really sparse. Like, you don't know anything about them, and they're just random aliens.
It'd have to be as nebulous as Mortis.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because it didn't seem like something they would touch on in an arc. It was because they had mentioned the scout ship. So it's something that would have just, you know, just briefly brushed against the main story. So yeah. I guess I'm glad we didn't go that. I mean, they were planning to go into Revenge of the Sith in terms of the storytelling. So it really wouldn't have fit in there to have this new sort of entity come into play.
Yeah.
So it's probably for the best that we didn't get that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And trying to think of some other things they mentioned.
Sure. I think one of my favorite things that came out was it was a single drawing of a clone trooper wearing a helmet with Ahsoka's facial markings on it. Oh. And I thought that was so cool because of the fact that these guys were loyalists. They wanted to follow Ahsoka. And I thought the concept, it just gave me a lot of feelings. Like, this is amazing. And I really wish we could have seen who essentially pledged their allegiance to her and how that played into the general story. I mean, I also wish that we could have seen, you know, the entire armor, because I would love to see someone cosplay as that.
Yeah.
And it's such a cool, it's just this orange block on their face and just Ahsoka's white facial markings. And I thought, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So.
And that whole idea is interesting, because now with both Ahsoka and some of the clones in Rebels, we never really got to see reaction to her leaving the Jedi Order, so it would be cool to see, like, which clones, like, got kind of left with her, or did they want to leave with her? Did they want to follow her? Like,
right, all that or work in secret or something. I don't know. I wish they could have expounded on that a bit more.
Maybe they will in Rebels.
Maybe. I'm intrigued.
There was one thing I saw, and then of course the that drawing of Padme on the clone starfighter. That just makes me laugh so hard.
I didn't see this, but I'm guessing it was like a World War II pinup style on the side of a fighter plane.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, that was funny. That was part of the Bad Batch arc. It was drawn on the side of the Bad Batch's starfighter, the starship that they had. And one exchange, like, they're on their way to a mission, and Anakin and Rex are tagging along, and Anakin sees this, and he's clearly not happy with that image, and Wrecker sees it. He Wrecker's this big burly guy, and he has super strength. So he turns to Anakin, and he says, "That's our girl, our Naboo senator. She can negotiate with me anytime."
Oh God!
I'm like, no, but it was so funny. The whole crowd just burst out laughing, and Anakin turns to Rex and he tells them, "That's not staying there."
that's funny for lots of reasons, because of the, you know, the whole historical aspect, but then also because Anakin, you know, would not tolerate that at all. But
yeah, it was interesting to find out that Rex had known about their relationship. I mean, Ahsoka had known briefly, and we got the impression of it at the very end. But Rex knowing was new. It was news to me. And
they said that?
Yeah. Rex had mentioned it. Oh, Filoni had mentioned it.
Oh, they're all the same.
You know, when Rex and I talk casually once in a while.
That's cool. Yeah, I was wondering who knew exactly. I mean, you can kind of like figure stuff out on your own, but
yeah, it was kind of obvious. They couldn't really. So you guys aren't really that great at hiding it, to be honest.
They're really not.
The worst secret relationship ever.
And one of the other pictures that they showed, one of the drawings, was Rex and R2-D2. Apparently they got into this sort of they didn't really explain it too much, but there was some sort of a competition, and Rex isn't really a fan of flying, and he was paired up with R2, and bad things happen, and they crash, and they've basically had this adventure, this duo buddy adventure together, and it's supposed to be a mix of humor and dark. So I've always been curious as to whether Rex makes his decision to leave in that arc, because this arc was supposed to air sometime in season 7 or season 8. I forget which one. So this could have been the point where we see him, you know, the wheels turning and him trying to figure out whether he should go or not. But I don't really know. Yeah. That's just my headcanon. But yeah, that was one of the drawings that they had ended up showing as well.
Cool. Anything else about that panel that you wanted to mention?
And the one last thing was Ahsoka's new look. She had gotten a new look after she left, and she had purchased a new speeder, and that speeder actually inspired the speeder that we see in Star Wars Rebels, the speeder bike of Kanan's speeder.
Cool.
Yeah, so it wasn't really a great piece of vehicle that she had there. It broke down on her just when she was going over the vast underworld of Coruscant, and she was just falling into the area, just bumping into things, and she managed to survive.
Wow.
But she was not happy with the product that she had purchased.
I can imagine. So they were going to have more episodes with her after she left the Order.
Yeah. Yeah, so this was, I don't know the context of this episode or the scene and what she was doing, but that's the situation she got herself in, and she had some pretty cool gear on and a completely different look. One of the things that Dave had asked Ashley, you know, what animal did she want on her boot, because there was going to be some sort of drawing on it. And Ashley said monkey. Mm-hmm. And Dave's like, oh, I don't really like monkeys, but we'll go with that.
Yeah.
So he ended up putting a monkey on her boot, I believe.
Now, that's an arc I'd love to see adapted into a comic or a novel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And that's what's really great about them touching on all this stuff, because now we've gotten a taste of it and we can keep asking for it, because the more we ask for it, the chances are we'll see it in some form or another, whether in a comic or novel or maybe, who knows, maybe like a direct to Netflix sort of a thing where they might develop it on the side. So I think that's the most important thing that I came out with from that panel was that we should keep asking for it. We should, you know, keep showing the passion for the Clone Wars, because that room was packed. Like, there was no space. The line was insane. And everyone wanted to know what they were going to discuss in this panel. And we were all pretty much satisfied with the content, but we just need more.
Yeah.
And I definitely want more.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what they decide to adapt, because I know people had asked Dave a lot about that, like, will we see any of these stories in a different form? And I know at the Delray panel they asked about the possibility of or I think it was either the Delray or Marvel or either both of those, they asked about the possibility of adapting some untold stories, and they said, you know, it's always a possibility, you know, it just depends on what they think will work for different mediums. So hopefully if a Dark Disciple does well, they'll decide to do that with some other
Here's
story.
And that was the major thing that came out of that. Yeah.
Cool. And so then the next big panel that they had was the screening of the Bad Batch arc, which is now on StarWars.com. So if you weren't at Celebration or didn't get a chance to see it, you can watch it online. But what was your reaction to it? Like, and you know, if you could summarize what the arc was about.
Yeah. So I loved the arc. Me being a fan of clones, obviously.
How many episodes was it?
This was 4 episodes long. Okay. It was a 4 episode arc, and it was basically Dee Bradley Baker talking to himself.
Kind of like the Utapau arc. Not the Utapau. Yeah. The
Umbara.
Yes, Umbara. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was exactly like that. Like, just like the Untold Clone Wars panel, this room was packed. It was insane. The amount of people who lined up to see it really showed, again, that the fan base still wants this material. So anyway, the arc itself was a lot of fun. You had these new characters that I had mentioned earlier. Wrecker, who was this big guy, super strength. And he also loved to explode things. That was a fun aspect of him. He just wanted to blow stuff up. Tech was this guy who was super intelligent. He was obviously very tech savvy. And Crosshair, he was the quiet one with a crosshair on his eye, super amazing accuracy, and he just knew what he was doing all the entire time. And a Hunter, who was the leader, it was basically like a Rambo. It was just like the bandana, long hair, tattoo on his face. So, you know, you've got these 4, they're experimental clones. They kind of look like clones, but they're not. And they actually call their brothers, the regular ones, they call them Regs, because they're regular clones. So yeah. it pulled a lot from the Republic Commando games, and a little bit from, I would say, from the novels as well, because you had the Nulls and the initial clones that really didn't pan out well. So basically, this team was led by the amazing Captain Rex, and they went on a mission to rescue Echo, a trooper that, you know, we thought we had lost at the Citadel arc in Star Wars: The Clone Wars. So it was jam packed with action. It was just explosions here and there. It was just like a big 80s movie, basically. And they were also trying to get at a algorithm that Rex had created to predict the moves of the Separatist armies. And somehow that got that algorithm leaked to the Separatists, and the Separatists were using it against the Republic. And they the whole arc took place on Anaxes, which is the same place where Art of Darkness took place in Star Wars Rebels. Oh. So Fort Anaxes.
Yeah.
Where Hera and Sabine were fighting off these Fearnox. That's the same place as this arc. So that was
so
neat.
We would have gotten the backstory from that.
Yeah, cool. Definitely. One of the things that they touched on at the very end of the arc was this this bomb that was at the very heart of a command center, and Mace Windu, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Anakin were trying to disarm it because it would literally blow up the entire planet. So that's kind of hinting at the fact that they managed to disarm it by the end of it, but that's kind of hinting at the fact that something might have happened something definitely happened along the way, and that's what basically tore the planet apart. And you see this fort like on a asteroid sort of field where, you know, the planet's not really stable. So that was pretty neat to see the before and after of this particular planet. And yeah, so it's basically trying to save Echo, who was also aware of the algorithm, and that's how the Separatists got to it, because they had captured him and were using him as a sort of organic interface in their computer. And that was very sad because he's all plugged into this computer area, and he's just being manipulated by the Separatists, and Rex comes in to save him, and he doesn't remember a thing. He doesn't remember how he got there. The last thing he remembered was trying to get to the ship to stop the Separatists from whatever was happening at the Citadel that I can't remember at the moment, but yeah, he couldn't remember, and he was so happy that Rex had come to save him, but he doesn't realize how much time has passed since then. And one of the things I wish they had touched on was the fact that Fives isn't around anymore, and Fives and Echo were a pair. They were like best buddies, and I wish there would have been a moment of Echo asking for Fives, and we didn't really get that. But some fans have drawn it here and there, and you know, comics or fan art, and they all make me cry. It's so sad because he doesn't know. You know, when Fives died, he was the last domino from the Domino Squad. The last domino had fallen. So, yeah. And then when we found out that Echo is alive, you know, there was this awesome opportunity to bring them together, but, you know, we had lost Fives by that point. Aww. Yeah. So that was basically the Bad Batch arc, all four episodes just leading up to this, you know, rescuing a member of the army that was still in captured by the Separatists. And he's back now with the Republic, and he eventually joined the Bad Batch. He became a member of their squad, which was really neat.
Cool. So what was like the reaction of I imagine, you know, that the panel was full and there were people who waited a really long time. So I would imagine the people were really into it.
Oh yeah, they were way into it. And like at the very beginning, you know, you have the when you see the introduction to it, you know, the logo comes in and it zooms into the background, and the moment that happened, just people started clapping and erupted into cheers. It was just so great to hear the Star Wars, the Clone Wars theme, and everyone just cheering for it. And one of the first things they showed was the little fortune cookie at the beginning, and it said, "Thank you, Clone Wars fans." And yeah. You know, you can't help but shed a tear.
That was really cool.
Yeah, and the reaction, everyone came out of that panel just loving the arc and asking, you know, is it going to be online, because we wanted to watch it again. It was one of those you have to watch it again to soak in the emotions, the action that's taking place, even in its unfinished form. It was an amazing episode. It was an amazing arc. Cool. And I'm so happy that it's available online for everyone to see, and it's totally worth watching. 2 hours, you're there, and it's amazing.
Cool. Like we said, it's on StarWars.com, and we'll put a link in the show notes if you haven't already gone and seen it. And then finally, we wanted to touch on, it's not necessarily Clone Wars, but, you know, there's Ahsoka obviously is in Rebels now, and we found out that other characters, mainly Rex, were going to be in Rebels as well.
Mostly we just want your reaction to finding out Rex was going to be in Rebels.
Honestly, when I saw that, I said, has anyone checked Jonna's pulse? Is she still alive?
I think my tweet was, can someone make sure that Jonna isn't in a coma?
That's exactly, yeah. I mean, the fact that he's on the show, it still makes me giddy. I was watching the trailer the other day, and again, because that's what I do in the morning, and I just wake up and I watch it. And that, when the moment that screen turns dark and you hear his voice, I just, oh man, I can't describe how thrilled I am to see him. And I remember sitting there and just, I couldn't tweet because I had lost reception. And so I couldn't tweet my reaction. So you had Brian and everyone else.
I think it was almost better.
Alive?
I think it was almost better that way.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, I was able to like respond and just, oh man, it was all caps lock and excited and exclamation points. And well, man, it was definitely the highlight of my day, having him return, seeing Dee Bradley Baker on the stage. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him in person, but one day I will, and it will be an experience for him.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't think I haven't actually met him, but he's been at Star Wars weekends a bunch of times, and he's always super great. Like he's just one of the funniest guys to watch. And like, I remember one of the first years I was there, he leapt up onto the stage from the floor of the theater instead of taking the stairs. And I was like, whoa, what are you doing? Yeah.
Adrenaline.
Yeah. So yeah, and the one thing I don't think I've heard anywhere was, are they going to be on the show more than once? Or is it really just that arc that they're in?
Or is Dave mean and not telling anyone anything?
Probably, yeah.
That's it. It's often C. I've heard people say, oh, it's just that one episode or two episodes, or they're recurring characters. I really want them to be recurring characters, but then I don't know how their story will fit into the whole, you know, because this is mainly Ezra and Kanan. And I definitely want to look forward to Kanan's reaction to Rex and Wolf and Gregor, and just that, how that the tension and relationships will pan out. And I know Ahsoka, I'd love to see that relationship as well, because she had been trained with the Jedi and she left because she wanted to. And Kanan wasn't that case for Kanan. He had to leave because they were going to kill him if he hadn't. So I want to see that relationship play out as well. And especially because he has a Padawan now, and Ezra seems like the type to be asking Ahsoka, hey, you know, I see you have lightsabers there. Can you show me a few things here and there? And that's not Ahsoka's, that's not her Padawan. So she doesn't, I feel like she doesn't want to step on Kanan's toes. So I really want to see that and how that will play out throughout the season.
Yeah, the idea of Kanan interacting with the clones is really interesting, and I haven't read the Kanan comic yet, but I plan to, and I know how the first issue ends, and I definitely am interested to see those interactions, because it seems like something that could get ugly very, very quickly.
Yeah, it's a great comic so far. There've only been 2 issues, and the next issue is at the very beginning of June. So I look forward to what's next, because Order 66, you know, obviously you know what's going to happen. So now we're at a point where we don't know what's going to happen to Kanan. Even though we know that he's going to be in Rebels, we don't know what's going to happen in between. So it's kind of, it's unpredictable. And I want to know where the story's going to go. It's a great comic, and the art's beautiful.
Yeah, the that whole, you know, period between Order 66 and how we see him in A New Dawn, and then even from A New Dawn to Rebels, like it's time that needs to be explored, I think.
Definitely. And I just definitely want to also find out from Rex and the other two clones how they came to be together, because you know, you expected Wolf to be involved where Plo Koon had died. I think it was on Sulukuma. No, not Sulukuma. It was on Cato Nemoidia. I think that's where he died. And so, you know, I kind of expected him to be there. Gregor, we didn't know where he was. Rex, we had no idea where he was either. So it's interesting to see these three characters together, how they came together, when did they leave, or, you know, I just want all the answers, and Dave Filoni's not giving me anything.
Yeah. I know someone had posted a picture, like a screen cap from the trailer, and it had kind of a, it looked like a scar on the clones' heads.
That they had removed.
Which would be really interesting considering the arc from season 6 and, you know, I'm not sure if that's something that would actually be explored in the show, or if they might just make a passing reference to it and then let everyone, you know, put together the pieces. But it definitely is super interesting. And, you know, I'm not super as attached to the clones, but the whole idea as to why some went along with it and then some didn't is really fascinating.
Definitely, yeah.
Any last thoughts about, you know, Clone Wars or just Celebration in general?
Well, being that it was my first Celebration, I had an amazing time. I keep telling the same thing over again, but it's just like I've been to New York Comic Con, and I know that, you know, there's a few Star Wars panel and I circle them and that's where I'm going to go. But for Anaheim, it was just like it was all Star Wars, and I was so overwhelmed because there was things that I wanted to go to and things that I couldn't get to. So I just thought, man, I'm not going to have a great time because I'm going to miss out on everything. But it was really just getting to know people. I mean, I got to see you and Brian and Bria, and that was amazing. I was like, that's Tashi Station.
Yeah, it was so cool getting to, like, say hi to everybody. And, like, you know, even, you know, there were so many people there that, you know, I felt like I didn't really get any time to chat with everyone I wanted to. And then now, like, even coming back from Celebration, I have become friends with people that I didn't even get to talk to at Celebration. I'm like, man, we were just at the same place, and why didn't we hang out? You know, it needs to be longer. It needs to be like 2 weeks long and hanging on the couch panels.
Definitely hanging out at the Hilton.
Yes.
That was fun, and getting to know everyone. Yeah. And I definitely had a blast. And I don't know whether I'll get to London just because of the expenses, but I definitely want to go to the one that comes after, and hopefully that will be at Orlando, because that's your home turf right there.
Yes.
That is our home turf, and you have an open invitation to swing by Casa de Schwartz Larson and Meet Marin Jade.
Yeah. Everyone will just be like, all right, everyone in the backyard.
Everybody queue in the backyard. We'll let you in a couple at a time to go meet Marin Jade.
It'll have a longer line than the Force Awakens panel. Yeah. So yeah, thanks so much for coming on, and we've been wanting to get you on the podcast for a while, so it's great that we were able to chat about your favorite subject.
Yay, thank you so much for having me. It's awesome talking about clones and you know, just basically just fangirling without the flailing, because I'll knock my microphone away.
Yeah,
that'll be an ugly situation. But yeah, I love to fangirl about the Clone Troopers, and I'm glad you guys gave me the opportunity to do so.
And one of the, I mean, like I said, and I'm not the biggest fan of Clone Wars, but I like that they had, you know, a bunch of content there, even, you know, with the show being off the air, because, you know, so many times people will, you know, get on the defensive about the things in Star Wars that they like, and, you know, how a certain thing is better than the other. But the great thing about Star Wars is there is so much different stuff that, you know, it has room for everyone, you know,
right.
And there's, right. You know, there's people who like the books, and then there's people who like the prequel trilogy, and people who like the original trilogy. You know, it's there's space for everyone, and the fact that they're still, you know, giving fans stuff from Clone Wars, and they, you know, they're appreciating the fans. I think that's super cool. And, you know, they didn't cancel your show to make room for Rebels, you know. So calm down, everybody.
Yeah, and we're getting content slowly but surely. It's being, you know, churned out, and we'll see them in the future. I have faith that they'll bring that stuff to the fans.
Yeah, definitely.
So before we go, remind everyone again where we can find you online.
Sure thing. So you can find me at thewookiegunner.com and various other sites that are listed there. And you can also find me at BlueJayGuys on Twitter.
Fantastic. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the episode there. This episode of Tosche Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check the links on the blog. Please help us keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tosche_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Elaine Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tosche Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tosche-Station.net. Nancy, what do we have coming up on Monday?
We are rounding up our Celebration coverage with Savannah Kiefer. She's going to talk to us all about Celebration, and we're going to recap our time and also look ahead to Star Wars weekends.
Fantastic. Thanks for listening to another episode. We will catch you all next time.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of ToscheStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tosche Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.